Welcome to the Maya on Money podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. We're near the end of the tax year, which means we only have a few days to take advantage of tax deductions, and we need to make sure we maximize our tax-free savings accounts and our retirement contributions. I have to tell you, I have done so. I have maxed out my tax-free investment allowance of 36,000 Rand. Now, I invest in my tax-free investments with after-tax money, but I don't pay tax when I withdraw. And this really nicely complements my retirement annuity, which gives me the tax break now, but will have tax consequences at retirement. But today we're going to delve a little bit deeper into retirement annuities because they have other tax planning tools that we may not be aware of for high income earners and even children. Maybe just to give a little bit of background, in order to qualify for the tax deduction to your retirement annuity or pension fund, you are limited to 27.5% of your taxable income, but it is capped at a total contribution of 350,000 Rand per year. So this means that anyone who has a taxable income of more than, say, 1.3 million would reach that cap if they maximize their 27.5% of salary. But what if you earn more than that? Is it still worth contributing that 27.5% even if you're going to exceed that cap and it doesn't qualify for that tax deduction? So to answer this question, another one I have about taking out an RA for your children, I have invited 91's senior legal counsel, Janine Langenhoven. So welcome, Janine. I'm really looking forward to this conversation because this is something that can be quite technical, and I'm glad you are the expert that can explain it to us.
Hi, Maya.
Yeah. So let's just start off with that question, right? Are there any tax benefits of exceeding this 250,000 Rand cap? And was my explanation correct? Did I miss something?
Yes, no, your explanation was perfect. Yeah, I think a lot of people think that as soon as they reach the 350,000 Rand cap, that's it. No more contributions to retirement funds. After that, they start focusing on more voluntary investments. But I mean, that is not necessarily true. So the only thing that happens is that your tax benefits may then not be available immediately, but you won't lose it. You will be able to get it later. So if you exceed that annual cap of 350,000 within your retirement fund, you may still benefit from tax-free growth within the retirement fund itself. And those excess contributions, SARS keeps track of that. So they roll forward, they will be available in the following years to get a deduction again from your income tax. Otherwise, by the time that you retire, if there are still excess contributions, a balance of excess contributions available, you will be able to get a portion of the lump sum that you receive at retirement tax-free. Alternatively, after retirement, you can effectively get a tax-free income when you invest in, let's say, a living annuity, if you still have excess contributions. So the tax benefit isn't lost, it's just delayed.
I just want to break down what you've spoken about now. So you're saying that if I exceeded my 350,000 this year, but maybe next year I'm self-employed, so it's always possible. Next year I only have 200,000 to contribute to my retirement annuity. Am I then able to get more benefits as a result because I overexceeded the year before? How does it work in terms of that accumulation in those years?
Yes, so your over-contributed portion rolls forward to the next year, and then it's effectively seen as if you made that over-contribution in the following year. So in your example, let's say you've only given 200,000, you're only able to contribute 200,000 in that tax year. Your 150,000 from last year will carry forward, giving you a total tax deduction again of 350,000.
Okay, so that would actually be tax deductible against my income the following year. Okay,
great.
That's powerful. That's really powerful to
it
know.
Is.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Thank you. So I wanted to understand that part. So I want to now come to this point that you made that at retirement, so say you've now accumulated and there are excess funds available, excess contributions, can you withdraw at retirement tax-free the contributions or the contributions plus growth?
Your tax-free portion of your lump sum that you get will be limited to your excess contributions that you made, not with growth. And then obviously, when you apply the retirement tax table at retirement, that gives you another potential 550,000 tax-free when you take that lump sum.
So let's say, for example, my excess contributions were 600,000 over that period. I would be able to draw 600,000 tax-free plus my 550,000 tax-free as per the retirement tax tables. Is that how it would work?
Yes,
Okay.
correct.
And then is that still though that withdrawal limited to the one third, right? So of the value of my retirement funds. It's not like, say, for example, my retirement fund's worth 1 million and I've Of that, my excess contributions. Okay, the maths would never work like this. But say my excess contributions are 600,000. I would still be limited to 330,000 that I could withdraw as the one third.
After the introduction of two pots, it's a bit more complicated now. So, since two pot was introduced, the maximum lump sum that you will be able to get at retirement is whatever is available in your savings component, plus one third of your vested component. And then obviously, you will not be able to access anything as a lump sum which is sitting in your retirement component.
Okay, so it's getting even more complicated with two pot, but there is a
It's
limit to how much you can withdraw at retirement of those excess contributions. So say you
correct.
withdraw of that one third, you use a portion of those excess contributions, or those what we call this, what I think you call them disallowed
Yeah, excess contributions or
or
disallowed
disallowed
contributions.
contributions. So if there are still those funds available and they are now form part of my compulsory annuity income, how does the tax benefit work then?
So after your retirement, once you are receiving your living annuity income, if you still have a balance of excess contributions available, upfront, that annuity income will have to be taxed in full by the administrator. So your excess contributions will not allow you to get upfront tax directive from SARS instructing the administrator not to withhold any tax. Unfortunately, that's not possible at this stage. So, administrator will deduct tax in accordance with the pay as you earn tax tables. And then at the end of the tax year, when you are assessed by SARS, SARS will take a look, what is the balance of excess contributions that you have available? Let's say your balance at that stage was 600,000, but your annuity income for the year was 1 million. In that scenario, 600,000 will be tax-free. You will get the tax on that 600,000 back from SARS, and it's only the 400,000 which will then be taxed.
So it can be quite a clever sort of tax, I suppose, management in your first year of retirement as well. Perhaps when your tax rate is still perhaps coming down because you may still have other investments or other work that's coming in. So I suppose you could be a little bit strategic there. But how do you, and I have to ask this one, how do you keep track of these contributions? Because I know I've actually really had a problem once with SARS when I, with my tax-free savings accounts, I transferred it from one fund to another and they misunderstood it and they thought I had exceeded my 36,000 and I had to go back and explain it to them. So I imagine you need to keep an eye on whether SARS knows that these funds are available.
Yeah, I think it's very important throughout your lifetime when you do your assessment and at the end you receive your ITA 34 from SARS. On that document, it shows what your balance of excess contributions are according to SARS's records. So I think that's a very important amount that you need to keep an eye on to make sure that SARS's records are correct so that you don't run into problems later on when you're trying to claim that tax benefit.
And are there any sort of estate planning implications for this as well? So how are these disallowed contributions treated in terms of taxation in the hands of beneficiaries?
So, retirement funds and living annuities, as well, on your death, they are completely exempt from estate duty. So, it's actually a nice product to use for estate planning and to provide for your family as well. However, if there are excess contributions remaining, so contributions for which you haven't received the tax benefit for previously, and if your beneficiaries take that benefit as a lump sum, that portion of excess contributions will be taken into account for purposes of calculating estate duty. If your beneficiaries elect to receive the full benefit as a living annuity, which they can obviously do as well, then there won't be any estate duty implications. However, the living annuity income, once they start receiving that, will be taxable again in their hands according to the pay-as-you-earn tax tables.
Okay, so again, if we go back to that 600,000 we've been using as an example, if the spouse, for example, cashed in the living annuity, 600,000 of that could fall under, although of course there is no estate duty between spouses, but that 600,000 could be considered part of the estate as opposed to the rest of the living annuity. Is that how it would work?
In terms of the 4Q spouses exemption, I think there are a couple of different views in the industry, but because of the wording used in the Estate Duty Act, where they have included excess contributions, we don't believe that the Section 4Q deduction would actually be available. And that is because the excess contributions is something that is deemed to accrue to the deceased. And obviously, to qualify for Section 4Q, the benefit must accrue to the spouse. So,
So
in
that you're
terms of the
referring now obviously
wording,
to the abatement. So that you're referring now to that the fact that there is no tax paid between when you leave your estate to your
spouses.
spouse. And so you're saying actually there's a little bit of a gray area here, and possibly that amount could actually still be taxed under estate duty even if it is left to the spouse. So I mean that's an important tax consideration. Again, exactly why you need good financial advice before you do any of these things. This podcast is not advice. It's to give you the information you need to ask the right questions. But I suppose that's the right question is if I was sitting in front of a financial planner, I would say, what would the strategic reason be to put additional funds into the RA rather than just into a discretionary investment?
With the RA still, there are lots of benefits. So we have spoken previously about the fact that you can get tax-free growth within the RA, also once you retire in the living annuity. You can set it up to provide a tax-free income after retirement. And obviously, depending on your balance of excess contributions, there are wealthy people out there in South Africa. So those balances can be significant amounts, which may be able to give them tax-free annuity incomes for years. With these products, you will also be able to potentially reduce your estate duty. I mean, we have seen case studies where the benefits that people are eventually able to leave their spouse or their children, the capital value can, in some cases, double or even triple if they do proper planning. Yeah, and use these tools effectively.
And I think that's an important point to make because while we spoke about the fact that the contribution, the excess contribution may be disallowed, but not the growth. So if that 600,000 had grown to 2 million, which it can compounding over time, it's that growth that remains really tax effective if you're sitting in a
Yeah,
living annuity.
and which is now out of your estate. So even if your spouse or your children, if they elect to take a lump sum, which is subject to estate duty, the growth is still out of your estate. Where if you had left that money in a voluntary investment, assuming now you're not leaving it to your spouse, but to your children, for example, that full amount would be in your estate for estate duty purposes.
And I mean, it is important just for the listeners who think, oh, there's no estate duty on living annuities. There is a tax table. There's still tax tables, but it's the retirement tax tables that apply, not the estate duty. People get quite confused and they get overexcited about all the autumn not paying tax. I want to come to a question that I get asked a lot, and that is whether it makes sense to take out an RA, a retirement annuity, for a child, even if the child's not earning an income. Now, personally, I always think it makes a lot more sense to open up a tax-free savings account. That's what my children have. But there are a lot of parents who say to me, yes, but if I do that, it's accessible to my child when they turn 18. And let me tell you, that happened. Both of my kids are now in their 20s. When they turned 18, their TFSA provider contacted them and said, you are now in control. I'm not allowed to stop them from withdrawing the money. So yes, it is a very real thing. The provider will contact your children and your children will suddenly discover this little nest egg. And for some parents, they're really nervous about that. And they say, I'd rather use an RA And because that's then locked until they're 55, and it's something that they can then start to contribute to as well. How does the tax benefits work in that case?
So, if you as a parent, if you are contributing for your minor child to an RA, obviously that minor child doesn't have a taxable income at that stage, so he won't be able to receive any tax benefit. But the benefit is deferred, it is available later. So, as soon as he then starts working, receiving an income at that stage, all of those excess contributions would have added up. And at that stage, he would then be able to start receiving a tax benefit on an annual basis. And obviously, over the years, he would have benefited from growth, tax-free growth within that RA. So, yeah, the benefits are available. They're not lost, they're merely available at a later stage.
So, I mean, that's really interesting. It means that when your child starts to work and maybe they're earning like a pretty good income, they could be paying quite a lot less tax because those previous contributions are now effectively being deducted off of their income tax. So that is a very interesting strategy, I must say. So that just a food for thought for parents.
Maybe just to add there, in terms of the Income Tax Act, you would only be able to get a tax benefit for contributions that you have made yourself, or alternatively for contributions that your employer has made on your behalf. Those contributions are also deemed to be your contributions. So I don't know how often SARS actually checks whose bank account was used for the contributions, but maybe if the person wants to make extra sure that the benefit will be available later on, maybe just set up something where you are making contributions to your child's bank account, and so that it is actually your child then making those contributions to make sure that at a later stage he can get that tax deduction.
I think that's excellent advice, and I'm always encouraging people to really open bank accounts to their children from a young age, and that's a really good reason to do it. So you, as a parent, would transfer funds into the child's account without exceeding the 100,000 rand a year donation tax, but you would put in the funds in there, and from there run the debit order or whatever into the retirement annuity, so that it's actually really traceable back to the child. So really some great information. And again, this does come back to where financial advice is really, really important. And before you all run off and put in excess money into RAs and take out RAs for your children, please do go and get advice. But Janine, I think this has been very, very valuable. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Maya. Thank you for having me.